The following podcast is sponsored by Crystal Glass, where windshield replacement and automotive glass repair has been a specialty for over six decades. Call 310-GLASS or visit them online at crystalglass.ca. This is Gross Misconduct.
Hey now!
Season 2, episode 11 of this Gross Misconduct. We're calling this one Frozen Pizza and Pie Charts. Across from me sits my partner in both life and crime, Carl. My name's Andrew. How are you, Carl?
I'm fine.
I'm glad to hear it. And that was over-the-top enthusiasm, which I always appreciate.
Yeah. No Irish theme for the show today?
Not unless the Irish are stereotypically angry.
I think they are when they're drinking.
Well, I
don't know.
This podcast is fueled by caffeine, so I've not been drinking alcohol, but man, I've had a lot of coffee.
Actually, did Maddie tell you this? You have a few Irish ancestors. She went far back in your family tree to find one of your Irish ancestors by the name of Gorgeous Valentine.
Gorgeous Valentine.
Yeah.
That was my nickname in high school.
Or Gorgeous or Georgeous Valentine.
No, let's go with Gorgeous. Really? Was he a bit of a drinker?
I don't know.
Possibly a wrestler?
Could have been.
Gorgeous
Let's Valentine. Say, I think it was Georgeous.
It evolves. The name evolves over time.
Yeah. So that fun fact.
Hey, speaking of fun facts, we've sort of gotten into this habit here with the Gross Misconduct podcast of me being a little angry off the top and sort of venting. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm not going to do that every week.
Okay.
But I will this week. And I'll tell you really? Why. Well, you know me.
I've just had so much venting today. I don't know if I can handle any more of it.
I know, but I have not. So I'm a little bit, how shall I refer to it? Angry, angry Andrew.
Angry, angry, angry Andrew. Andrew, 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 Andrew. A-N-G-R-Y.
Andrew.
A-N-G-R-Y.
Andrew.
Angry, angry, angry Andrew.
Andrew,
Andrew, Andrew.
Angry, angry, angry.
Thank Mike from Mike's Rewind for coming up with that little tune.
Oh,
is it what?
I was just going to say. I thought maybe you was that you?
No, I'm not that good at editing
or singing.
if Mike ever becomes homeless, listen, we've got a bed here because I would love to have that talent and ability in house. Listen, this is a minor point, and as I always like to say, first world problems. But listen, you know, with all of us doing Zoom meetings, well, not all of us, but a lot of us are doing Zoom meetings. And I think Zoom sort of was forced upon us, you know, obviously because of the pandemic. So I don't think there was any evolution of etiquette for Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. I think that people were just one day in a meeting and then the next day in a virtual meeting. And I don't think at any point anyone has sat the world down and said, okay, listen, if this is a thing, we should have some etiquette. Like, for example, not with regard to Zoom meetings, but etiquette in general, generally frowned upon to fart at the dinner table, you know, especially when the queen's there. You know what I mean? There's just certain things you don't do.
Sure.
And I have noticed among participants of a particular Zoom meeting, and I'll just call it out, it's Blackburn International, my cruise ship agent.
It's your cruise meetings.
Yeah. And I get that, you know, artists are an eccentric bunch. Mm-hmm. I get that. And they all, you know, like to express themselves. But there is one prick in these meetings that I cannot take my eyes off of. And I'll tell you why. And we have them every couple of weeks. So I've actually gotten to the point where I look forward to being annoyed at him. Mm-hmm. He sits down. And then as the meeting begins, he begins eating. And we're not talking about, you know, like I always sort of try and hide the fact that I'm having a smoke. Like I sort of lean to one side if I'm doing something, you know, if I'm naked, then I turn my camera off. You know what I mean? But this guy eats and it's spaghetti and meatballs every time. Spaghetti and meatballs. So it's a messy, sloppy, spaghetti, saucy meal. And he sits there and I can't take my eyes off him. Like, I don't even know what my agent is saying because I'm so focused on him twirling the spaghetti. And then he takes a gob of this dripping, juicy spaghetti, and he shoves it in, and he never gets all of it in. There's always some spaghetti sauce in the corners of his of mouth. Course. Yeah. And then he chews with his mouth open, just ka-blah, ka-blah, ka-blah. And then he reaches for a can of something. It looks like it might be one of those energy drinks. It's a big can, tall can. And then he just guh-guh, 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 and then puts it down.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, and then goes, well, I don't do it on a Zoom meeting. I mean, I don't know if he's...
He must be getting a lot of work that he has to squeeze his lunch hour into the Zoom meeting.
Well, that's like... just it. It's like, what are you doing all day? You have a half hour every 2 weeks in which you have to be somewhere. And with your busy schedule during a pandemic, that's the only time you could find to eat fucking spaghetti. And he never stops. Like, he's just... Like, he's shoveling shit into his face the whole time. And I'm the only one who's ever mentioned it.
Yeah, that's pretty rude, I gotta say.
Yeah, like, and I don't know. Rude. Like, I don't know if, because they're all entertainers, cruise ship entertainers. So I don't know if he's a dancer, a singer.
Right.
I'm guessing a magician because they're uncultured, those people. And he takes so long to eat it, too. That's the other thing. Like, that spaghetti's gotta be fucking cold because the meetings typically last a half hour. Gary tries to keep them to a half. Sometimes with questions, they're 45, but he eats the entire time. And when he's finally finished, which is timed almost perfectly to the Zoom meeting, he wipes his mouth with his hand. And it's just, yeah, that's exactly how you finish a meal of spaghetti in a Zoom meeting. I mean, picture if you were, instead of online, if you were in a boardroom, like picture that you're your boss. You called you in for a meeting.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that anywhere else.
And you arrive with a bowl of fucking spaghetti.
Yeah, it's quite rude. Quite rude, I must say.
One day, I thought he was finished. And I actually, on the text line, you can ask questions. And I'm like, hey, is Kyle, I think was his name, and I don't know Kyle. I'm like, is Kyle so busy this is the only time of the day he can find to eat spaghetti? And like nobody
commented
or whatever, right? But I see Kyle... like looking down at the text line, like I can see he's reading it. And then he looks back up unaffected, reaches beyond the camera. And I think, okay, so he's, you know, maybe going to turn the video off or something. Nope. Garlic bread. Reached for garlic bread.
That was a big PFO.
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, folks, we've read stories in the Big Blue Folder about how people spend most of a Zoom call staring at themselves and not focused on the speaker. I'm just saying this is an additional distraction.
Yeah, eat before or after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what if he is so full he has to go take a dump? Does he just take his PC into the, you know what I mean? Or what if that's when the call started, like right when he had a gurgly tummy? You know, there's just, it's inappropriate.
I wonder how many people actually take their Zoom meeting on the toilet.
Well, the background's very important in a Zoom meeting, too. Like, you know, I've got a brick wall behind me.
You know, you could have, like, a nice, you know, wallpaper or pictures or shit behind you.
Well, if you want to
I'm sure people have done it.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed, yeah.
Well, I've certainly done. You can always tell when somebody's on the phone in the bathroom because there's that echo.
There's an echo in a bathroom because it's a very small room, usually a high ceiling. So
have we all done that where you're like, okay, I need to flush now and there's no way?
Well, I've never taken a phone call in the bathroom, so I don't have to worry about that. But
there it is. I mean, there's other things, as long as we're still on Zoom for a second, because you kind of kept us here. Camera angles and lighting are very important in Zoom, and background is important. And, you know, they're not critical, but if you want to look your best, or if you don't like the way you look on Zoom, a couple of tips for you. Number one, if you're using a laptop, it should be at least 6 to 8 inches higher than it normally sits. So put a box under it, or like I have a stand, pull your laptop lid, screen towards you so it's sort of at an uncomfortable angle, and turn the lights on bright behind the computer so you're front lit and not back lit, as every performer will tell you. See, that's the thing. The guy's a fucking performer. Like, would he do his act when he's making the woman disappear, or he's cutting the volunteer in half?
I don't know why you're obsessed that he's a magician.
Would he be sitting there eating spaghetti? Anyway,
don't do it.
Yeah. Elevate the computer. tip the top towards you a little bit so that the camera's at an angle and light it nicely from behind. And then, you know, think about what's in your background.
Here's the thing, because like before you get invited into a room, like I've never actually, well, I've partaken, but you're the one that sets it up or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you can preview what you look like, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just preview what you look like in your Zoom meeting.
Yeah. And not during the Zoom meeting.
I'm saying before.
Exactly.
But
see, there's another point that kind of fries my ass is people who you can see they're staring at themselves in the Zoom meeting and then they're like adjusting their shirt and they're like, you know, turning the lights up and down. And it's like, fuck.
Well, they want to look the best.
Well, sure. But, you know, do that prior to the.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how.
Ask somebody.
You have Zoom on your PC, right? You can start a meeting with just you. And that's how you can frame up your shot. Mm. And then close that meeting, end that meeting, and join the one that you're scheduled to attend.
Okay.
Well, how are we 10 minutes in? How are we possibly 10 minutes into this
podcast?
Because
you always think that your rant is going to be like 30 seconds and
Well, it would have been, but you got me fired up again.
I did. No. What? No. Come on.
All right. Well, let's move it along then. Nothing to see here. For those of you just joining us who missed last week, here's Mike's Rewind.
Here is last week's Rewind of the Gross Misconduct Podcast.
Well, I've told you before, I'm not a good out loud reader.
The problem is the advertisers really appreciate when you do it out loud.
No, I know. So I can't just read it.
Yeah.
After this unedited episode was released, listeners flood social media asking if Y and Carol had returned.
Space exploration.
Have you been drinking?
What?
Yeah, that's right.
You're ignorant. Cannot get no stupider. So drunk. So very, very drunk.
Unfortunately, in this episode, we are subjugated to a urination chronicle by Andrew.
So I had an empty extra large coffee cup from Tim Hortons, and I couldn't go
You're just sitting in a parking lot peeing in a cup?
All I'm going to say is, you would think an extra large coffee cup is pretty big, but no, I got...
Did you overflow?
Well, I was going to. The level of the pee, I guess...
It's precarious.
Well, it touches you. So I had to like hold and put the cap on. Then I'm like, oh, please tell me there's another cup somewhere. Then I reached in behind to the two cup holders in the back and there was a bottle. I'm like, okay. And right at that moment, you texted me, I'm coming out.
Okay. So I know I had an iced tea bottle in the back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I've recently took a drink of the iced tea. It tasted like iced tea, though.
That's
a different bottle.
And that is what happened in the last unedited episode of the Gross Misconduct Podcat. I meant podcast. Well, that's certainly enough. Stop, please. Now you're all caught up.
Well, I don't know if our listeners enjoyed that podcast, but we certainly did. Oh. Sometimes I wonder who we do this podcast for. Sometimes I think it's for us. Mm. Hey, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people told us. We didn't get a lot of feedback about whether or not people preferred the unedited version. So this week we'll just go back to the edited version. Well, it's easier in my world not to edit. I don't know how interesting it is to hear us stumble over our words and clear our throat and whatever. But there was a hockey game, I think, at 6 that night, and I really...
Right.
Okay. We did put Joe to work a little bit last week, so let's take a look at Joe's fact check.
Joe. Fact check.
Joe's fact check is brought to you by our friends at South Central Dentistry, providers in all areas of general dentistry and oral health care. But... also helping many nervous patients like myself get the dental care they need with gentle sedation. Dr. Cowette is certified in-office conscious sedation with inhaled nitrous oxide gas. Love me some nitrous oxide gas. Oral conscious sedation with a pill and even intravenous sedation. So let the nice folks at South Central Dentistry put you at ease while they put a smile on your face. I call them at 780-757-3723. Or visit them online at southcentraldentistry.com.
Mm. So a blood alcohol level of 0.4 or higher can be fatal.
Now, before you go any further with that,
yeah.
Both Dr. Tony from the doctor's office mm-hmm. and Joe from Joe's Fact Check sent yeah. me charts.
Oh.
And the reason we were talking about blood alcohol level is because you had said that you had to get your stomach pumped one time. Mm-hmm. And what was your blood alcohol level?
0.24.
Okay, well, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
But keeping it, I mean, I was probably like 110 pounds at the time.
Okay, so 0.24 will put you in the category of experiencing anger or sadness, possible amnesia, impaired sensation, inhibited sexual desires, mood swings, nausea, partial loss of understanding, possibility of slipping into a stupor, and vomiting.
Mm.
But at the highest level, which we had somebody in the big blue folder who was in the 400 range, and you said, aren't they dead?
Yeah, you would think.
So in that range, between 0.400 and 0.500, that will result in coma, a mm-hmm. Possibility of death, and can severely affect your central nervous system.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
God, how much would you have to drink to be that saturated?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, okay. My money from the wheel, the Jeopardy wheel, because I got it wrong again last week. I'm at 115,000. I thought it was at 120,000.
Yeah, but Joe knows these
things. No, come on, Joe.
No, he's right. I looked it up after I saw the chart. Oh, because
130. I do recall betting 15,000.
Yeah, there you go.
But I thought it was at 35.
I'm going to tell you right now, because you don't like it at the time,
yeah.
that you should bet it all on this category. Because okay. I just okay. have a
how
feeling.
How many times have you said that to me?
Okay.
And I don't, and I end up getting it wrong anyway.
I mean, obviously, we haven't spun the wheel yet, so I don't know what the category is.
Right.
But I'm guessing that it's going to be a category that I know you know. So. Okay.
Anyway, I am at 115,000 fake money dollars.
That's right.
So, okay. And this was the first time last week that a repeat category came up. Carol had state capitals on the December 30th show, where I incorrectly guessed Austin, Texas, instead of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Wow, isn't that interesting, Joe? Mm-hmm. We didn't ask you to check that, but that's a fun little fact about how smart is Carol. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
Who knew?
All right. Well, we'll try and put Joe to a little more work this week, because I know he had complained on Twitter that he was like an hour into the episode and we hadn't asked him for anything.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is that right, Joe? Was it an hour into the episode? Can you check that? let's get right to listener mail.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
You'll recall, Carol, that we asked our listeners, or I suggested to our listeners, that if everyone who was listening sent $5, mm-hmm. We'd be good for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Well, some people rose up and they responded to that suggestion.
They heeded the call.
That's the word I was looking for, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. David sent us $5 with the message, feeling guilty about not sending $5 earlier. Love the pod, guys.
Thanks,
so thank
David.
You, David.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen sent $55 with the message, $1 for each episode. Ooh, thank Kathleen, you, Kathleen.
Totally makes sense, and thanks for doing that. Glenda E. transferred $25 to Andrew at andrewgross.com with the note, thank you, Andrew and Carol.
Dorothy E. transferred $25 with the note, love your podcast.
We're glad you do, Dorothy. And Greg E. transferred $20 with the note, I listen to the podcast every week. Thanks for the entertainment.
Charlene sent $50 with the note, laugh at least once every week, wishing you and Carol all the best, sending you an email about driving to Las Vegas. Do it.
Oh, yeah, Charlene. And we went back and forth a little bit with Charlene. Some great tips about driving down to Vegas.
Yep,
I'm a little more stoked about doing it now than I was before, but I was already kind of stoked.
Very stoked.
Yeah, I do like the idea. Mm-hmm. Kelly sent $5 with the message, I love your show. I like the idea of $5 a week. It should be manageable for everybody. We are newly retired and have more time to listen to you. We've been following you since you started on Ched. Love your style. I tried to set up automatic transfers, but it didn't work. We'll try to remember weekly to do this. Keep up the good work. Well, Kelly, appreciate that.
Michael sent $25 with the message, edit your podcast, you lazy bum.
That's a fair statement. Carl sent $50 with the note, some Saturday night pizza money for the Oilers game, which is exactly what I spent it on.
Mm. Wesley asked, is it unedited because Puck Drop was at 6 p.m.?
Yes. Yes,
it was.
Yeah, that is sort of the reason. And plus, you know, we had kicked around the idea of doing an unedited one, and I thought...
Yeah, just to, you know, pull back the curtains, show the people what it's like.
A little, you know, you just want to avoid the podcast becoming the same podcast every week. And so if there's different ways to present it while still keeping the aspects of the podcast that people like. So that's why I thought we'd do it. Mm-hmm. Sparkly Things for Me 71 gave us the feedback on Instagram about being unedited. And she said, I'm assuming it's a she, I thought it was great.
And we were sent $5 with the note, thank you for everything you do and entertaining us every week. That's from Bobby Joe and Mark Hope.
Appreciate that. And Tracy tweeted at us, we drove to Vegas in 95 with a five-year-old and a three-year-old, my ex and my father-in-law. It was August.
Ugh.
115 degrees when we got to Barstow. It was a fun trip. I ate a dinner somewhere. Football coach riding a bike by with players running behind, and a waitress yells out the door, Cal, how's our boys looking? We died laughing. I think it must have been in Utah somewhere. Highway 15, 24 hours if you drive straight to Vegas. For safety, take bear spray. Oh, and the five-year-old pooped in the desert.
Oh, that's fun.
Hashtag true story.
Crazy James tweeted, imagine my absolute shock and joy when listening to Gross Misconduct and suddenly I hear myself talking to my dead cat. Thanks, Andrew. You absolutely made my day and made me tear up as well.
Well, I guess I'm glad. A different James wrote on Instagram, thank you for your podcast, Gross Misconduct. Humor is such an important coping mechanism during this pandemic. Without it, I would either cry like a baby all the time or be a raging maniac. Remember fondly volunteering for the comedy festival. Once some type of normal happens, look forward to helping again. Keep up the great job you're doing, bringing smiles, laughter, and happiness during this COVID time. We certainly will, James. Until the money runs out.
Yeah. Brucey messaged on Twitter to say perhaps St. Paddy's Day would be a good time for another drunk Carl episode. Maybe do a Bailey's. Oh, yeah. Why am I not drinking Bailey's on this day? Maybe do a Bailey's and Guinness showdown again and then add shots anytime you guys say, Joe, fact check that. Or you say, was that my nickname in high school? With a few cannabis gummy charcuteries mixed in, probably might want to book 2 days for this episode. Oh, that sounds like it would be a really fun episode.
It does. We were out for a drive last night and ended up over at our little Esso / Tim Hortons and noticed that a new cannabis store had opened up in that little mall. And I said to you, we should grab some edibles. I don't know why, because we're not really...
Well, you said, we should get some cannabis. And I was like, well, like I can do CBD, but... You
know, yeah, I don't really know.
I can't be doing the weed.
I don't know what I can do.
It makes me ill.
So. I'm not a drug guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I've never tried it or anything like that, but I'm just not a drug guy. But it just seems, I don't know. I feel like going in one of those stores and going, yeah, can I get a little of the hoochie, the little wacky tobacco?
The devil's lettuce.
Tracy tweeted, my furnace decided to act up on Sunday, so I called Todd's Mechanical to come by on Monday. Todd diagnosed the problem and got the part to fix it. Yay! I should mention, though, that I followed up with Tracy and discovered she had forgotten to use the word of the week to get a $50 discount. And the word was
freak.
Freak. Joe, check that. Was the word last week freak? I think it was because we played that.
Super freak.
Super freak. Yeah.
Bobby Joe gave us a 5-star review. Great podcast, funny and relatable. I look forward to listening each week. I especially love how real Carl and Andrew are. Highly recommend it.
I appreciate that, Bobby Joe. You know, if you can't send us cash, you folks, and I know not everybody can, and we're fine with that, you can certainly send us a review, and it helps us get other listeners. And
yeah, we like reviews.
We look forward to them. As you know, as long as it's a good one. Like, don't be like, fuck these guys.
They suck. 0 stars.
Why do you even do it? I don't get it. Write no jokes. Leanne sent us a link to This Morning, which is a British daytime television program that's broadcast on ITV. That's their big network in the UK. She thought we might find it interesting, and I certainly did. Take a listen to this.
Camilla Tomini and Giles Brandreth have joined us to discuss today's top stories. Can't imagine what we're going to talk about.
Good morning.
Hi, Camilla. Thanks for joining us. Hi, Giles. Right. OK, well, we've just spoken to Janina Gavanka. Obviously, there are allegations flying around all over the place. Welcome to the new era, she says. Is the new era the fact that someone had to leave the palace, and we don't know any of this is true, obviously, but because of gross misconduct.
Hi, I'm Ken Franchak, General Manager at Crystal Glass. When it comes to your home, windows are your view to the world. We ensure you see it clearly. Call 310 Glass or book now at crystalglass.ca. The clear choice for all your glass needs.
Hey everybody, this is Joel Hoekstra from Whitesnake, and you're listening to Gross Misconduct.
I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Hanging on the promises and songs of yesterday, and I've made up my mind. I ain't wasting no more time.
You know, you would think after all this time and this far into the pandemic that we would be running out of COVIDiots.
Not true.
Not true at all. In fact, we have two this week. Ooh. I couldn't decide which one to go with. I had one already ready to rock and edited and in the file. Mm-hmm. And then another one presented itself to me yesterday. So rather than choose or hold one for next week, I thought we'd go with two. So it's time now for You're a COVIDiot.
You're a COVIDiot is brought to you by our friends at albertamasks.com. Early on, anything was better than nothing, but nothing is better than nanofiber face masks from albertamasks.com. They're reusable, remarkably thin, comfortable, and highly breathable while filtering up to 99.9% of even aerosolized particles. Use the discount code GROSS right now to get an additional 10% off your order at albertamasks.com. You'd be a COVIDiot not to.
Yeah, and while we wait to get vaccinated, all of us here in Canada, it's the next best thing to a vaccination is a great mask. Mm-hmm. Now, no mask is 100% safe, but any mask is better than no mask, and albertamasks.com provide excellent masks. In a video of a Trader Joe's incident in Texas posted on Instagram, a maskless shopper pushes past greeters at the door who offered to give him a disposable mask and refused to let him enter without a face covering. So, of course,
right,
as is typical in these situations, the conflict ensues.
I'm going to walk into the store. If you would like to call the police, you can. Let's go, kids. Come on. Let's go, kids. If you touch me, you touch me. Don't touch me, kids. Let's go.
This is absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to shop my entire experience here.
You guys, listen to me. You always stand for truth. You understand me? You're doing nothing wrong. You're doing nothing wrong. So we're going to get some things, and you're going to help me because they wouldn't give me a cart, and then we're going to leave, and we're going to go to Whole Foods. Okay? Let's go. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm respecting my right. No, this is ridiculous for you to be doing this in front of my children. I'm not going to talk anymore.
Can I ring you up?
You can do whatever you want. I don't even have a cart. I am so offended right now. I can't even tell you. For me to be dealing with this when I was in California by myself is one thing. Avec mes enfants, I'm starting to speak in French with my children. It is reprehensible behavior, and I am so perturbed right now. This is America at the end of the day. And you know what the police do at the end of the day? There's a difference between the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. And you guys should have had a different response right now. I chose today, knowingly that I could have gotten reaction with my kids. And I said, no, God is not going to have this happen to me. You guys have been so kind the entire time I've been here. Look, that was not kind just now. That was not kind. So I'm going to continue on, and I'm going to go about my way, and I will finish the rest of my shopping at Whole Foods. But I hope that this teaches everybody in here a lesson that we have children and that the damage to them is immense. And for them to think that they have to wear a mask. No, I can speak how I want. You guys started this, not me. I'm going to continue on. Let's go, kids. And I'm going to continue to teach them. You guys, will you hold this, please, for me? Thank you very much.
I really do.
It's not you. I'm tired of everybody being turned against themselves. And you know, at the end of the day, we have to stand up for each other. What are we going to do? Allow ourselves to continue to be taken advantage of like we haven't learned? I don't care if anybody's Republican or Democrat. Hey, newsflash for everybody here. Nobody's vote counts anymore. So are we all going to stand together or not? Like, are we human or no? I've lost it anymore. Card, please. Like, come on. Everybody's sick. It was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Not what? We're going to take COVID swabs in our butts? Come on, guys. People, wake up. And now I'm being turned away with my children because we can't shop. And what, they're supposedly not healthy? Yeah, you can film me. Please, God, stand up for truth.
No, idiot. Don't you know that I'm a COVIDiot? I'll go and visit grandma. I don't give a shit. That's how you tell that I'm a COVIDiot.
What? I'm confused.
I'm confused.
Because he was obviously in there making a purchase.
Yeah.
Okay, so they allowed him in.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. There's so much there to unpack.
Or did he put? Did he temporarily put a mask on?
No, no.
Okay.
So he's there with his little garçon. Oh, I don't know why I broke into French there. He's there with his little boy and his daughter, and he's trying to teach them a lesson. So that's number one. Yeah. So what's the lesson we're trying to teach is that you don't follow the rules. Yeah. You put other people in danger. that a store does not have the right to turn away a customer. You're teaching a lot of things incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I don't know what the whole when he was alone in California and breaking into French thing was. Like,
yeah,
that was, he had an aneurysm or something right in the middle of it. And then, you know, he's on about, you know, how it was supposed to be 2 weeks. Okay, but it wasn't.
It's not. So.
And we are where we are. And we're so close to the end now. Let's just be smart about this. And let's not teach our children that. You know, absolutely pushing back against common sense is mm-hmm. good. That's a great idea, especially when these guys are being so accommodating. Like what they were doing was just saying, okay, grab your stuff then. And they're ringing him in. Like you can hear them ringing. They just want him out of the store as quickly as possible. Right. But that I don't think is what he was looking for. He wanted a bigger confrontation because why else would he go in that store? He knew what was going to happen. Yeah. And it's just another example of somebody looking for problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who fucking needs it? But anyways, that was going to be our COVIDiot.
Yeah.
And then a COVIDiot landed right in my lap.
Mm.
And I don't, you'll know this, you people who follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I use my Twitter account almost exclusively to entertain people, and pretty much that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I rarely engage. And sometimes with hockey, you know, I'll say something about the other team, and then some of their fans will pipe up. And I either ignore them or I just say, hey, you can't chirp an Oilers fan. Like, we chirp ourselves pretty damn good, right? But this was, I engaged with somebody on Twitter. So here's what happened. Heather, you know Heather, she had received her second order of masks from albertamasks.com. Mm-hmm. And as is the case many of the times when Mark sends out the masks, he writes a handwritten note and thanks the customer for buying. So Heather posted on Twitter that she had received her second order of masks from albertamasks.com. Then someone replied from California, coincidentally.
Okay.
Someone replied showing a video. They had tagged a video showing a guy wearing a mask after sanding drywall. So the guy's been sanding drywall. He's wearing this little paper mask. He takes off the mask and the drywall dust has gotten under the mask.
Mm.
And he looks at the camera and the comment from the person who replied to Heather was, maybe we should stick to hand washing. Okay. So here's the audio from the video, just so you have an idea of how this video went with the guy sanding the drywall.
I wore one of these masks, kind of like, I guess you say a science experiment, right? Let's test it. See the data. This is what it looks like when you wear a mask with sheetrock dust. So my question is, if this is sheetrock dust, I thought it was supposed to protect me from a virus. So if we're not listening to the TV news, we're thinking real life, scientific. Do these work? Do they save lives? Are we going to ignore reality? Or are we just going to go along with the narrative? That's the question.
COVIDiot. Don't you know that I'm a COVIDiot? I'll go and visit grandma. I don't give a shit. That's how you tell that I'm a COVIDiot.
All right. Now, from listening to the audio, you don't have the advantage of being able to see the actual video.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just point out some of the things that jumped out at me and I simply couldn't contain myself especially when it comes to this particular topic, people just throwing out shit, trying to influence other people.
Masks don't work. Like, look, the guy's fucking drywalling. Fucking doesn't work, right?
So I have to point out a few things. First of all, he's wearing the mask inside out, number one. And it's obvious he's wearing it inside out. He didn't use the nose clip, so it's not actually clipped onto his face. So it's just sort of
loose in front of his face. Goosey.
He's saying it couldn't work against COVID if it doesn't work against drywall. But you have to ask yourself, when was the last time anybody sandblasted a wall of COVID? Like, you're talking about a whole other volume of particles, exactly. Right? And I had written back to him, was that the doorbell?
Yes, sir.
Never rings unless we're doing a podcast. I'm not expecting anything unless you are.
No, not me. Maybe. No.
So here's the other thing. I had written back to this guy, and it kind of went like this. I said, you know what? You've got a valid point, because I put on my paper mask and went swimming, and then water got in behind the mask. So if it can't stop gallons of water, how's it going to stop microscopic particles, right? But he took offense to that reply, and he goes, coming from you? And I replied, well, it's my account, so yeah, I guess it is coming from me.
Yeah.
And then he said something about being tired of being bullied, and put a link to the Constitution of the United States, because Americans believe everyone in the world is American. Mm-hmm. And I wrote back saying, rather than posting a link to the Constitution, you should try reading it. And then tell me where it says...
the line about masks.
Yeah. And to which he came back and said, I got banned from Twitter. What's your point? And I'm like, okay, you know what? Are you the guy from California that was at Trader Joe's? Because had he replied in French, I'd be like, fuck, that is totally the same guy. But anyways, you know what? If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask.
No, just don't leave your house.
Don't leave your house. And when you're turned away at a store, that's just the way it is.
Just accept it as, yeah.
Yeah. It's just so funny. No shirt, no shoes, no service. Okay. No mask, no service. What the hell? My rights are being violated. Like, no. It's the same thing.
It's policy, buddy.
But speaking of masks, now listen, some of these states, and I learned this on our Blackburn call as well, because there's a lot of American entertainers. Mm-hmm. And we always ask, or the question is always asked, so are people getting back to work, or what's going on in various parts of the world? Which is kind of actually the cool thing about those meetings, because you get like English people and Czechoslovakians and Russians. Mm-hmm. But the Americans were all saying, well, we're open.
They're
working. Yeah. Clubs are open. Bars are open. Yeah. Theaters are open. Mm-hmm. And a couple of states, Texas and Mississippi, are lifting their mask mandates all together.
I know.
So there is no more a mandate. Now, it's alarmed some medical experts, as you can well imagine, who are worried that yet another surge of COVID-19 will take place before everyone's vaccinated. But I did find this clip from an infectious disease specialist. Her name is Dr. Dina Grayson. And I just thought her comment was sort of funny and appropriate for our podcast. Take a listen.
Oh, gosh. COVIDiots have to COVIDiot.
There it is.
Sums it up.
She had a lot more to say, of course, but...
I mean, it's like the finish line is in sight, you know? Yes. Like, everyone just hang in there. Yeah. Like, come on. We're almost there.
We all want to get back to normal. Believe me.
We are almost there.
I want to start entertaining. It's so close now. Yeah. It's so close.
I know.
I've got my appointment tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Going for your first shot of the AstraZeneca.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the first time ever that getting older has been advantageous, because, you know, you're not going to get your shot for a couple more years, right?
I fell in the 50 to 64 year category, but they ran out of the vaccine, you know, before my year came up.
Well, AHS keeps texting me. Mm-hmm. And every time I see that they've texted, I'm like, oh, shit, they ran out of vaccine. But it's just another reminder.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I guess.
No, if you're booked in, they've got a vaccine for you.
My guess would be that they're trying to avoid as much as possible people having an appointment and not showing up. So they're reminding you 10 times, right?
Yeah.
Especially us old folks. You have a hard time remembering things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, that takes care of that. But, you know, speaking of our vaccination appointment, well, my vaccination appointment to get, and I'm going to refer to it as this when I'm there, my Fauci ouchie.
Okay.
Because I think that's what they should have called it all along.
I know. It's cute.
It is cute. Think about it. When you rhyme something, people go, yeah, okay.
Okay, that's not so bad.
Yeah. If it does not fit, you must acquit. Fuck, not guilty. The Fauci ouchie. I want one of those. Like, just make it fun sounding. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's different kinds of vaccines.
Yeah.
And I'm getting that. What am I getting? The
AstraZeneca.
AstraZeneca, which has had some bad, a little bit of bad press here in the last little while. It had caused some blood clots in some individuals in Europe. Mm. And while I don't think that's going to happen to me, it sort of did get me Googling the vaccines, because if I turn down this particular vaccine, I can wait and get the Moderna or the
Pfizer.
Right. But I have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of months. So I looked into it, and who did I find talking about it was Dr. Fauci.
Okay.
And he was asked the question, which is the best vaccine?
I would pick the one that was the most readily available to me. All three of them are highly efficacious. They have different characteristics, you know, cold storage, one dose versus two dose. But if I walked into a clinic and I wanted to get vaccinated and someone say, you could have this vaccine now, or wait a few weeks for the next one. The important thing is to get vaccinated as quickly as you possibly can in order to protect yourselves, your family, and the community. So I don't have any favorite. I happen to take the Moderna because in the clinic at the NIH where I am, that was the one they shipped to us. But if they had shipped another one, I would have readily taken that.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. That actually gave me a little peace of mind.
I mean, here's the thing. None of us know the efficacy of any of the vaccines we've had throughout our childhood or the flu shot or anything. We don't know what it's made out of. We don't know how, you know, the trials went. And we just blindly, okay, I'll get it, whatever.
Do you know?
And just a little side note here.
Yes.
The birth control pill actually causes more blood clots than the COVID vaccine.
Joe, check that. That sounds like a random fact. Joe?
It's not random.
Okay, but Joe, check that. Does the birth control pill cause more blood clots?
Or is more likely to cause the blood clot?
Check that. Yeah. It's important. Do you know what the holy grail of COVIDiot audio would be?
What?
Somebody arriving at a vaccination clinic and refusing to wear a mask.
Oh, God.
That would be the... Maybe I'll do that.
Oh. No.
Just for the audio.
Just to film yourself. And
okay. I'll edit out the part where I go, I don't believe what I'm saying, but I've got a podcast. And this is perfect. Okay, well, moving right along. Mm-hmm. A little late for that. It's time for our Dick of the Week.
Your Dick of the Week is brought to you by the Edmonton Comedy Festival, the only Canadian comedy festival to successfully and safely hold live shows during a pandemic. The 2021 dates are October 13th to 16th, but why wait? Comedians are available to perform live or virtual shows for your staff, group, or function at an affordable price. Contact Andrew at atbcomedy.com to book your comedian today, and don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at atbcomedy.com.
Yeah, we don't send the newsletter out very often. If you're worried about being spammed.
A couple of times a year or something like that.
If that. Right? And usually it's in September when our tickets go on sale. Yeah, just
a reminder.
And generally that newsletter contains a link for you to buy your tickets before they go on sale to the public. So we usually do that just to give our avid followers
a little pre-sale.
A little pre-sale so they can get the tickets they want. Yeah. Because, you know, the Best of the Fest always sells out.
Yeah.
Like within days, and people complain they weren't able to get tickets. So sign up for the newsletter and you'll never have that problem. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Tucker Carlson is our Dick of the Week, and not for the reasons you think. It isn't this WAP thing.
No, I know. WAP.
Whatever. He went on this rant.
I know.
Mocking women service members of the U.S. military and accusing Joe Biden of feminizing the United States military while China becomes, quote, more masculine.
He's a disgusting human being. I'm just going to put that out there. He really, truly is.
He's just angry. You'd be angry, too, if
a
woman hadn't talked to you in 20 years.
Well, that is true.
Take a listen to what he said.
Last year, we learned that China has quickly developed the world's largest naval force. In 2015, China had 255 battle force ships. Now they have more than 360. And many of those ships are more capable than anything in the American naval fleet. So how are we responding to this? Well, at the White House yesterday, Joe Biden addressed it effectively. What's the American military's response? Here's what Joe Biden said.
Some of it's relatively straightforward work, where we're making good progress designing body armor that fits women properly, tailoring combat uniforms for women, creating maternity flight suits and updating requirements for their hairstyles. And some of it is going to take an intensity of purpose and mission to really change the culture and habits that cause women to leave the military.
So we've got new hairstyles and maternity flight suits. Pregnant women are going to fight our wars. It's a mockery of the U.S. military. While China's military becomes more masculine as it's assembled the world's largest navy, our military needs to become, as Joe Biden says, more feminine, whatever feminine means anymore, since men and women no longer exist.
Might as well face it, your dick. Gonna have to face it, your dick. Might as well face it, your dick. Gonna have to face it, your dick.
He is going out of his way to appeal to angry old white guys.
You know, maybe once Tucker's balls drop,
oh dear,
he can sign up to serve his country and make it more masculine.
Well, it's a funny comment.
And then I also saw that he, I don't know if it was in this particular segment or a subsequent one, once again, you know, mocks Biden and his speech and the way he's speaking. And it's like... come on, go ahead, enough.
Well, a couple of things. So let me address a couple of things there. You're right. He's never served in the military himself. Number two, he made the comment, so pregnant women are going to fight.
Yeah.
Pregnant women already fight wars for them. And then the other thing is that I know Tucker Carlson and others like to portray Joe Biden as boring.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take boring. I mean, after this...
Over crazy, yeah.
Yeah, any over day. These last 4 years, and specifically the last year, are we looking for more excitement? I love the fact
I'm
that
not sure that he's so much boring as that he's composed. He's, you know, he's not ranting. He's not raving. He just, these are the facts.
Yeah.
And he's...
You know what I compare him to? A really good accountant. You know, nobody ever says of their accountant, boy, that guy is not exciting at all. I don't need him to be exciting. Just get the numbers right.
I mean, he's a long-term statesman. Like, he just projects that.
Yeah, and he does like, have a... he has a...
A stutter, yes. Yeah,
which he's worked his entire life to overcome.
So he's very thoughtful and methodical when he speaks, right?
And boring, which, again, I'm okay with. I'm not going
to... Like, I don't know, like, why he has to have, like...
He doesn't.
Jazzy speeches. Like, yeah.
No, I agree. Like, yeah. I'm saying.
I know. Like, I don't get it. Like,
I'm not saying he's boring as an insult. I'm saying that.
I know what you're saying. I don't know why people need something other than that.
Well, Tammy Duckworth, who's an Illinois Democrat senator and a decorated war hero, she heard Tucker Carlson talking about women in the military and tweeted, "Fuck Tucker Carlson," while he was practicing his two-step. America's female warriors were hunting down Al-Qaeda and proving the strength of America's women. A happy belated International Women's Day to everyone but Tucker, who even I can dance better than. I think that he was on Dancing with the Stars. I think that's the reference.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah.
So all on right, this same topic, just for a moment, CNN's Brianna Keeler spoke with Navy veteran Caitlin Hetrick, and we'll let her have the last word on Tucker Carlson's remarks.
Everyone is, of course, entitled to their own opinion. I happen to think that his opinion is wrong. As someone who served while pregnant, this is... it's very disparaging to hear him say these things about women. I served with many women, women who were pregnant at the time, and none of us let our pregnancies affect our positions, and we all came to work every day ready to do our job, and we loved our jobs. So, again, he's entitled to his own opinion, but I believe the people who are in the Pentagon making these decisions have a lot more insight into what our military service members need than someone who's never served a day in their life.
Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Great food, no atmosphere. Comedy should be funny. Dad jokes are for sure, but pain and injury are no laughing matter. When it happens to you, there's us, Leading Edge Physiotherapy, because we're not kidding when we say life shouldn't hurt.
This is Mike from Mike's Rewind. Just want to wish everyone a happy St. Paddy's Day.
Slanty bar!
the boys won't leave the girls' room.
You know what? Joe from Joe's Fact Check should do a little audio and send it to me of, this is Joe from Joe's Fact Check, and you're listening to Gross Misconduct.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Are you able to do that? Joe, check that.
Okay.
I did want to make mention of a turn of events over the last few days. Not going to dwell on it, but with everything that's happened over the past year with COVID and with companies and business being down, that we have lost ATB Financial as a corporate sponsor, mm-hmm. a title sponsor for the Edmonton yeah. Comedy Festival. I know they're as disappointed as we are, and we certainly are not angry with ATB over it. In fact, I want to thank ATB for 10 years of wonderful support.
Yeah, they've been wonderful supporters. Yeah. They've always just been right behind us
yeah,
the whole step of the way.
They've been amazing and let yeah. us run the festival the way we want to run it and provided the money we needed to do that. So we're grateful for that support of the last 10 years. Now, we are now searching for sponsors, but not a title sponsor. We're not looking for anyone to write a huge check, but a small to medium-sized business that wanted to sponsor a stage or present a particular show. We're looking in the neighborhood of $5,000, and we'd like to find probably half a dozen of them. And that would do a lot to make sure that we're able to do a festival next year. The festival for this year should be fine, but you know, because you plan about a year in advance for festivals.
Mm-hmm.
So we have mostly everything in place for this year. However, we may not be in a position to do a festival in 2022 unless we find some sponsors between now and, say, the end of August. So I'm just putting the word out there. If you're a small or medium business and you want to participate. And by the way, I should mention as well that ATB is not walking away entirely. They're going to sponsor a particular night of the festival. Mm-hmm. So they're still providing some financial assistance yeah. to us. Yeah. But they're doing what they can under the circumstances. Yeah. But we need some help. Okay, so time to check in with the politicians. And boy, this has become my favorite part of the podcast. Only sure because it entertains you so damn much. Now, you know, marijuana has become legal in our country. But in the United States, it's per state. And right now, down in Nebraska, they're arguing or have been arguing the legalization of marijuana. And I'll tell you who's dead set against it.
Mm-hmm.
A Nebraska government, Pete Ricketts, who, okay. by the way, that's a great name.
Yeah.
Pete Ricketts and others are opposed to legalizing medical marijuana in Nebraska. So he doesn't even want the medical hoochie.
Marijuana? Medical yeah. marijuana?
I know. I'm trying to come up with a funnier name. The medical.
Medical magic.
Joe, can you come up with that? He held a press conference last week just ahead of a hearing on the matter. Take a listen to this.
Three things you need to know about this is that and then the third thing is the National Association Academy of Medicine use marijuana daily in Colorado. And that actually has big impacts on people's cognitive ability, changes the gray matter in their brain, damages their ability to be able to develop cognitive abilities. Do well in school. This is something that is harming our young people.
My God, I have fun doing those.
Yeah, yeah.
That is slightly edited, I'll tell you right now. Just to be above board, full disclosure, I slightly edited that one. I'm not sure what happened down in Nebraska as to whether or not they ended up legalizing medical marijuana.
Mm.
The Ganji.
Yeah.
Joe, can you check that? Did they legalize marijuana in Nebraska? All right. So up here in Canada, Health Minister Shandro, and you know, we love Health Minister Shandro.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to the media about the unique methods our province is using to combat COVID-19. And boy, you'd be surprised what he had to say.
So I'm very proud today to announce another step to protect Albertans. Now, throughout this pandemic, Alberta has had the most dynamic frozen pizza in the country. We rapidly expanded frozen pizza when this first arrived in Alberta. In the months since, we've continued to adapt frozen pizza. We were the first to bring community pharmacies on board to deliver frozen pizza, while enabling the most robust screening program for frozen pizza in the country. And now, over the past few months, frozen pizza has become an important part of our COVID-19 response. But we can find more people infected with COVID sooner, even when they don't have some frozen pizza. We know that we can't identify every case of COVID because many people don't show symptoms, so they don't know to get frozen pizza. That's been one of the challenges of the pandemic from the start.
So, Carol, earlier I was saying about Zoom meetings, some etiquette and how to where to put your computer and light yourself up and all that kind of stuff. Here's another tip for you, a couple of them. If you're going to appear on camera, never wear green. Never, ever wear green. Do you know why?
Because people can make fun of you doing funny things with your outfit.
Right. People will green screen you. So you never, ever wear green. You never wear a pattern.
Stripes or something busy.
Right. Because they'll move. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you're a politician, never say frozen pizza. Because as soon as I saw that frozen pizza, I'm like, oh, we got to do something with frozen pizza and Shandro. But of course, I'm just having a little fun. Mm-hmm. Just having a little fun. Like to entertain you
as you
where
do.
I can.
Yeah. As you do.
But we have to be serious about this, you know, pandemic thing and the vaccinations. And Premier Kenney talked just the other day about the vaccination program in Alberta. And I think, you know, honestly, I think we owe it to our listeners to keep them informed on what's going on with vaccination. So here is our Premier, Jason Kenney.
The vaccinations are just the set key priority. So to be clear, let's be clear about this. I've got here a chart, and so let me just pause to explain some context there. One thing that our chart shows us is that we have to get people's arms jabbed as much and as quickly as we possibly can. And so we cannot waste a day, an hour, a dose, a chart if it's all avoidable. And so I will say this, in the first 10 days or so of Alberta's vaccine program, which started on, as you know, the 15th, 16th of December, And so, anyway, I'll tell you this. I've got here a chart. We were slower than I would have liked. I wasn't happy with that. AHS was holding back half of the, because remember, the vaccines that have been acquired and approved are both double dose vaccine protocols with a 3 and 4 week gap between the first and second dose respectively. So AHS was holding back half of the vaccines that they got to be sure to administer the second dose in 3 to 4 weeks. Well, but here's the deal. I said to them, I've got here a chart. So, don't wait. Just go and administer as many of those first doses as you can. And we've caught up. In fact, we're now leading the country in terms of per capita vaccinations and the utilization of our stocks. In fact, I've got a chart, and we may be running out of people's arms within a few days. That would be a terrible tragedy. But my instructions to AHS have been to inoculate as many people as we can, as quickly as we can, because I've got a chart, and so we need to be prepared to be able to do 20,000 or more a day.
So there you go.
You got running out of arms. Well, fucking ramp up your program, like, you know.
He didn't really say that.
I'm ready. He didn't. Yep. What?
He said running out of vaccines. I substituted arms in
there. Oh, you're funny.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Hey, just in case I haven't made this abundantly clear, these are not real statements.
No, from... I know you edit them and like whatever, but I.
That oh, yeah.
Was, yeah.
No, I know.
The edit... I don't listen to the original.
Right. The edit is so smooth on these that you thought he actually said we're running out of arms.
I'm like, well, I was shocked. I was like, we are? Because I don't really understand what they're doing then if we're running out. Okay.
Now I'm worried that I'm putting fake news out there. Did you hear the premier say we're running out of arms? No, he didn't actually say that. He said we need to get the vaccine in the arms of Albertans. Mm. And I took arms and.
Okay.
Sometimes, like he said, I was working on one today for Jason Kenney, in which I needed him to say the word me.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the entire thing. It was 2.5 minutes long. Never says me the whole time. Never says it. And you can't get it from a different speech because the audio won't sound the same. Right. And you'll hear the edit, right? So I went through it a couple of times. Like, he must say me at some point. You know, it seems to me like something, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't, but he says meander. And I'm like, oh my God, there's me right there. But I had to really,
you have to cut that ander off.
He's a bit of a slurrer too. That's I've noticed as I've edited his speeches. So, you know, you got to cut that me. It sort of sounds like Mia.
Mm.
You'll see when I go to use it.
Okay.
All right. Moving right along. You know, it's time now for What Does Kevin Think?
What Does Kevin Think is brought to you by Ole McDonald's Resort, family camping on the south shore of Buffalo Lake, individual and group sites, grandma's kitchen, train rides, bike rentals, ice cream, coffee shops, playgrounds, a beautiful beach, fireworks at night, including the best July 1st fireworks show in Western Canada, and so much more. Check them out at olemcdonalds.com. Make your summer reservation today and tell them you heard about it on Gross Misconduct.
I wanted to mention it at the time, and then I forgot. There was an American, must have been one of our COVIDiots, possibly. Mm-hmm. You know what it reminded me of? Do you remember the time we were in Banff with the kids? They were little.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, is there anywhere to buy fudge in Banff?
Or a t-shirt.
We were in Banff, and somebody was there. Some tourists from Quebec were there, and they were speaking French.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it must have been the guy who broke into French accidentally. Mm. And do you remember this? And there was this couple, this older couple standing there, Americans. And they heard they just heard the French. Like, they weren't speaking to this person, and the person was not speaking to them in French. They just overheard the French. And the woman turns to her husband in a loud American voice, say, French, I thought we was in Canada. It's like, I don't even know what to do with that. Like, you are in Canada, and we have two official languages, and one of them's French. I thought we was in Canada. So listen, Kevin, typically I ask Kevin if he'll talk about a particular topic and I'll make suggestions to him. But occasionally, rarely, he'll say what he wants to talk about. And that's the case this week. He wants to talk about Governor Andrew Cuomo. That's New York's governor. He's facing multiple allegations of sexual harassment and unwanted advancement. He's now the subject of an impeachment investigation after the Speaker of the New York State Assembly authorized the Judiciary Committee to begin the probe. So,
what does Kevin think?
Well, isn't this fun? This new development down in the States. I like I said, I've cut my news consumption way back. But I had to watch, for about 15 minutes this morning to get the update on Mr. Cuomo and the saga. They gave him a frickin' Emmy. I don't know who does that. Like, the Hollywood elite, the media, I don't know how you get an Emmy for a frickin' news conference. But anyway, they did it, and they were talking about Mr. Cuomo running, you know, being the next president of the United States because he was such a hero in New York. He did do a lot of Trump bashing. I know that. He begged for more ventilators. So the president, the ex-president, got Ford and GM and a couple of General Electric, I believe, was in there building thousands of ventilators, which are now sitting in frickin' storerooms somewhere. Trump took a medical ship to New York Harbor. They turned one of the football stadiums or baseball stadiums or whatever, one of the stadiums into a medical center, and then they were never filled up. The Trump bashing, I think, is what got him the Emmy, but I always kind of thought that guy was a bit of a tool. He just looks like a tool. And so I wrote this little poem I do not like Mr. Cuomo's house. I do not like his hand up my blouse. I do not like it one little bit. I do not want him touching my tit. He's got 7 of them now. I suspect there's going to be a big fall from grace for Mr. Cuomo.
And that's what Kevin thinks.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerome Cowett at South Central Dentistry. We are committed to excellence in dentistry and service and hope that you choose South Central Dentistry as your oral health care provider, located just north of the White Mud on Gateway Boulevard. Call us at 780-757-3723. Or find us at southcentraldentistry.com.
Let's go, girl.
This is Elijah Wood, touring drummer for Shania Twain, and you're listening to Gross Misconduct with my girl, Kyle Gross.
I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Kevin thinks.
Yep.
I tend not to argue with what Kevin thinks.
Yeah, because it's what Kevin thinks.
Because it's what Kevin thinks, yeah. And it's unfair to Kevin because he doesn't get to reply.
Right.
But I'm going to make an exception this week. Just say one of the big differences, because I know Republicans in the States in general are just salivating at the prospect of a Democrat being called out for this sort of thing.
As he should be.
As he absolutely should be.
Absolutely.
And one of the big differences is that Democrats are helping lead the charge on this, whereas
Republicans
did,
with Trump.
Did not lead the charge on Trump for similar allegations.
Yeah.
So that is a difference. And then the other thing is, whenever people talk about media, whether it's Kevin or anyone, I cringe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I cringe a little bit because, having been a member of the media, I know that there isn't the conspiracy that people think there is among media. I think somebody put it best one day when they said, anyone who thinks there's a conspiracy among media has never been in a newsroom. We can't even agree on what coffee to order. And that's absolutely true. Debates happen constantly in newsrooms. Mm-hmm. And I know they certainly happened in the newsroom that I worked in.
Mm-hmm.
And there was differing opinions and so forth, right? But I would also point out that you have to, these days, take a look at what media is. So take Ryan Jesperson's show, Real Talk, for example. Is he a member of the media? The answer is yes. He's not a conventional, at a radio station with a big tower, member of the media, but he is a member of the media.
He's putting content out there.
Right. Yeah. As are we, which makes us members of the media. And Kevin's a component of that, which makes him a member of the media.
Welcome, Kevin.
Welcome. Welcome to the club, buddy. You haven't been showing up for the meetings. So I just, again, I just want to say media is such a blanketed umbrella term.
It's a very
term.
Broad term.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And I'm always reluctant to sort of.
And obviously, I mean, you are going to get certain organizations that are biased towards.
Oh, of course.
One way or
the other. One way or the other, yeah.
Obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, we support everyone's views, regardless of where on the spectrum they fall. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have What Does Kevin Think as a component of this podcast, right?
Exactly.
Knock yourself out, boys. One thing that you and I have been talking about, and I don't want to get in trouble because this is one of these topics where you're like, I'm not sure if I should even bring this up.
Oh, that I'm a fat fuck?
No, I wouldn't have put it that way. My little meatball. I would not have put it that way. But, I think you and I and many others have, put on a couple of pounds over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
In your case, looks beautiful.
No, it does not.
Love every inch of that thing over there. But here's the thing. I think as we start approaching the days in which we believe we're going to come out of COVID, we're going to get vaccinated, things are going to open up again, and summer, coincidentally, is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us are kind of, trying in some way or another, if we haven't been all along, which you and I have not been, trying to maybe shed some pounds.
No, I've totally given up on myself.
Yeah, don't say that.
Yeah.
You're beautiful.
That's the point.
No, don't. Don't do that. Don't body shame yourself.
My fat pants are too small.
God,
when your starchy pants don't have any stretch left, you might want to think about pulling back.
When your husband's stretchy pants don't fit anymore, that's right. I have had too much KFC. I'm finding that as I get older, it's even harder to lose weight. And you know, I think about those days back in, honestly, in university and high school. So high school is actually a great example. In high school, I played football. And in Prince Edward Island, there was a weight restriction, and I don't recall what it was. I want to say it was 180 pounds or something like that. You couldn't be over 180 pounds. And several members of our team would weigh in the dressing room before the game, before the officials had arrived, and they'd be at like 181 or, you know, and don't listen, don't do this. But they would plastic bag them like they would, you know,
get out and run some laps. Yep.
Yeah. Do the weigh in, like lose a pound in water.
Yeah.
Do the weigh in and then hydrate as quickly as possible.
Things
were
so much easier as a teenager.
Right. And even just a few short years ago, when I was working at that radio station, and we were going to go on a listener trip, I decided that I wanted to maybe, you know, take off 5 pounds or whatever. Well, it literally took me 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, as you get older, yeah, it slows down. And then, you know, the menopause has just not slowed it down. It has shut it down.
Like, really?
For the last 2.5 years, it's just, nope.
Well, I asked.
Fuck you, meatball. Fuck you, meatball.
Jesus Christ. Well, you know who would be the definitive word on this is, of course, Dr. Tony. So let's take a trip to the doctor's office.
Welcome to the doctor's office. How can we help you today?
So why is it that we have a harder time losing weight the older we get? Well, this has to do with a number of things. As we age, our metabolism naturally slows down. Also, our muscle mass reduces in size, and muscles burn energy both at rest and with exertion. We also become less active because we tend to get more aches and pains and arthritis. So this combination of things means that we burn less calories during the day, which means in order to lose weight, we have to eat less calories each day than we did when we were, say, 30, 40 years younger.
So there it is, Carol.
Yeah, that's why I'm a fat fuck.
Come on. I don't know how much. I don't know. You know what? A lot of times, 5 pounds makes all the difference. If it's the right 5 pounds,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
I'm just finding it. I'm not trying to lose weight is the problem.
Right.
People have mocked me for this over the years. My eating habits have, for the most part, not changed at all over this pandemic. That what has changed is the amount of food I have delivered to the front door. I eat once a day, and I've been doing that for probably 20 years. And I might, but not typically, have a snack in the morning or at lunchtime, but a snack, like a small piece of sausage or something like that. But I otherwise eat once a day. And I do everything wrong. When I'm out on the road and I'll be gone for weeks at a time, I don't want to eat during the day because I don't want to feel full to do a show.
Right.
So I'll do the show, drive back to the hotel, order a pizza, and when I'm finished the pizza, go to sleep. And that's got to be the worst possible thing to do, is to put a nice big fatty old pizza in your system and then do nothing for 8 hours, right? But I've been doing that for years. So I don't know. Like, we've got trips planned. We've got a houseboat trip planned for July. We've got camping planned for August. Knock on wood, everyone. And I would like to not be a fat fuck for those things. But it's, you know, I'm not complaining. Like, I mean, I'm the one stuffing my face with KFC. But that's the other thing, too. Like, as far as healthy selection on Skip the Dishes, I mean, I guess we could cook our own food.
You can get salad. Well, I do cook.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, you can get salads pretty much anywhere. I know you don't like the salads.
Well,
you're not a fan of the salads.
There was a time in which I did, what was it, about 2 years. I quit smoking. I started going to the gym every day. And as I started to lose weight, I wasn't as hungry as I had been before. And as I was seeing results, I didn't want to hurt those results.
Right. Yeah.
So I actually, do you recall, got into salads and making them myself and putting little, you know, bits of steak meat or chicken in them and eggs. And I was actually really enjoying it. And I hadn't smoked in a long time. I felt like the best I've ever felt. And then we went to Vegas. And
I mean, it's just that is that first step, like just getting on that path. Because usually when I decide, okay, it's time for me to smarten up, start eating healthy and, you know, whatever, I'm good. And I'm like, I have willpower and I'm really good at it. And, you know, my plan a month ago was to do it again. And it, you know, but it never even really took off. I was kind of like, yeah, fuck, whatever.
Well, do you think it's something that we need to do together? Is that the problem?
No, because I've done it before while you're always like, oh, I don't want to eat this in front of you. And I'm like, no, it doesn't, because it doesn't bother me. Like, it doesn't bother, like, if I'm eating a salad, it doesn't bother me watching somebody eating a burger and fries. Like, that doesn't bother me.
Okay.
It's just this whole, it's the pandemic. Like, I don't want to do anything, so I don't do anything. Movement is minimal.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to do anything.
I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but I've lost my will to live. I mean, honest to God, I need to get back out. Like, I need to... Yeah. I need to move.
And I don't sleep well, and I know that that's a component of weight loss as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to, like, your body needs to be recharging and refreshing in order to get that metabolism and I do not sleep well, and I haven't for the last probably 15 years, so.
Jesus. I said to you the other day, instead of going for a nightly drive, we should go for a nightly walk. We used to walk when we were a young couple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, before we could afford cars and we were on horseback, we used to go out for walks in the neighborhood. I mean, and it is getting warmer out and less ice.
Once all the ice is off, I think pretty much all the ice is off the sidewalks. I mean, we can, I'm down for that.
All right, well, let's do it. Well, there's a hockey game tonight.
I mean, I have to say, and given that this is St. Patrick's Day, because I, at the ridiculous age of whatever, 35, 36, I decided to take up Irish dancing.
Yes.
For whatever reason, which I did for, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped. I have arthritis in my feet and my knees, and I didn't really want to accelerate that damage anymore. So I haven't danced in, I don't know, 8 years. No, not that long. Maybe 7, 8 years. And so as soon as I stopped dancing, just that's when the weight started to creep up. It was just like, but I need to find like another fun activity like dancing.
Mm-hmm.
That is low impact though for my joints. Because you were asking me, well, like, why don't we go to the gym? And I hate the gym.
Okay.
Because it's just, to me, it's just mindless. Like, my mind, I need something to make me think. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
maybe what we should do is blindfold you, drive you to some part of town you're not familiar with, and then release you.
And just make me find my way back.
Yeah, and then that would make your mind work.
Maybe, yeah. But I need
I'll take your phone as well, just so you can't Uber it.
I need to find a fun, low-impact activity.
Do you remember when you were Irish dancing and you had some dance-off or whatever they call them?
Dance-off.
And I showed up and
it's called a fesh, by the way, which is just a dance competition.
Well, you were doing a fesh, and I showed up with a video camera and videoed your dance from the waist up.
Yeah, that was...
Not realizing that Irish dancing is all from the waist down.
Absolutely nothing happening from the waist up.
It was incredible to watch when I got home to edit it, because I'm not really watching it. I'm watching you, right?
So,
you know, then I get home to edit it. It's like, well, it really looks like you're just standing in line for groceries. Like, it didn't... Yeah. You didn't move, but every now and then you start sweating. Like,
she's bouncing up and down.
Yeah. It was just... Sort of weird. All right.
Anywho.
Well, it is time for this.
This is Jeopardy!
Now, as Joe pointed out in Joe's fact check, your money is at $115,000 imaginary dollars.
All right.
And again, I've added new categories to the wheel.
Okay.
And that's while exciting. I don't know what category you're going to get, I think, because it's completely random based on the wheel, I think you should bet it all. Just knowing what the categories are up there, I think you should bet it all. But to find out which category is, we should give the How Smart Is Carol wheel a spin.
The How Smart is Carol Wheel is brought to you by the best furnace and plumbing services in Edmonton, Todd's Mechanical, providing you with all of your plumbing and furnace needs. Edmontonians keep warm and dry with Todd's Mechanical. Call them at 780-499-7598 or find them online at toddsmech.com. And don't forget to like them on Facebook.
And don't forget to listen for Todd's Word of the Week to get $50 off your
Hang
bill,
in there. Hang
Tracy.
In there, people.
Because I think what you did, Tracy, is we started playing Le Chic, and I think... Freak Out by Le Chic.
Yeah, I wasn't super freak. Sorry.
Yeah, and I think you probably fast-forwarded through the tune, and it was actually during the tune that we dropped the word, right? So you got to listen right to the end to get the word. All right.
All right. Well, I will see what my category is. Well, I mean, you're saying bet it all, but...
I am, but I mean, let's find out.
I need
out.
To see what my category
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I mean, if it's state capitals again, don't do it. But if it's something, you know, along something up your highway, let's give the wheel a spin. Well, exactly as I had anticipated, a category right in your wheelhouse, Broadway musicals is the category for this week's How Smart is Carol? Broadway musicals, and I'll remind you again that you have at your disposal $115,000. I would bet it all. You could be close to $250,000. Trust me on this. Bet it all.
You always say that. Every time you do say bet it all, I get it wrong.
Okay.
So,
well, don't bet it all then. Well, bet very little. No. Bet very little. You have trouble sleeping at night now? You'll have a lot more trouble sleeping at night after you hear what the question is. You go, ah, for fuck's sake, I should have bet it all.
I don't want to lose all my money, though.
Nobody wants that, Carol. Nobody wants that. Okay, Broadway musicals. Have you written down your wager, Carol?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
Broadway musicals, premiering in 2005. Its story is divided into spring, summer, fall, and winter, each narrated by one of the four male leads. Don't you wish you'd bet it all? Premiering in 2005, its story is divided into spring, summer, fall, and winter, each narrated by one of the four male leads. Your answer is...
What is Jersey Boys?
Correct. Correct. Hopefully you listened to your husband.
No.
And bet $115,000. How much did you bet?
I did not. $110,000.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. You are at $225,000. $1,000.
Finally got one right.
There you go, Joe. Mark that down for me, will you? Because I don't want to forget that. Good for you. What was your thinking there? What's the use of having 5,000 imaginary dollars? You might as well have doubled.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like the 225 seemed nicer than 230. I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
All right. Hey, listen, before we get to the big blue folder, I did want to make mention of the fact that I was down a rabbit hole the other day with the city. About garbage collection. Mm-hmm. And you and I had spoken of these garbage containers that are coming to each neighborhood. And apparently some neighborhoods, did you know this, have had them for almost 2 years.
Well, they did. Yeah, because they were doing the pilot.
Yeah, the pilot project. Yeah. But they're starting to deliver them. The city has developed a map with regard to neighborhoods and when they will receive them.
Yep.
We fall in the category of sometime between May and June, I believe.
The end of May to the end of June, I believe. Yeah.
One of the questions that you and I had, or I had, was how big these containers are. And I know you can get a big one, a little one. Mm-hmm. And somebody had said, listen, when they talk about fitting four garbage bags, they're talking about kitchen bags, not big green bags and that kind of thing. So with the program now being announced as going into action, Sarah Ryan from Global Television ran a story about it this week and talked to some of the people who've been part of the pilot project. Okay. So I thought that their feedback might be interesting to us and timely.
Coming soon to your community, new black and green waste bins. One is for garbage.
This small garbage cart is going to fit 2 to 3 of those traditional big black garbage bags. The larger one is going to be 4 to 6.
If Edmontonians request a smaller bin, they'll save on their monthly utility bills. But everything has to fit inside.
If you put out your old garbage bin or you put out a bag just next to your carts that won't be picked up. If the lid is super open and the cart is overflowing, we won't be picking that up.
This green cart will divert waste from the landfill. It's good for food scraps and organic matter. And on a select few dates each year, yard waste. Thousands of Edmontonians have been testing the cart, including Michelle Demers.
If people are just very conscientious about waste reduction and recycling, that they'll find that these bins are more than adequate in size.
Over the last 2 years, she has only had one real concern.
I mean, in the winter time, the organics will freeze. And so sometimes not everything will dump.
Mama Dea Crutano says the sorting helped her family reevaluate waste.
It was quite amazing to me how much food we do actually throw out.
Now the city is getting 250,000 more homes on board in waves. Some communities are getting their carts now and will start sorting next month.
We actually will have folks out walking the alleys and the front streets with our trucks to make sure that if we need to reorient a cart a certain way or we need to close a lid that wasn't closed, we're really making sure that waste is collected.
All residents will receive information about what goes where, too. But staff acknowledge it might take a few weeks for people to get the hang of it.
We have such little control over so many environmental issues, but I think reducing our waste is just one small thing that we can do. And I just accepted it as a challenge.
Sarah Ryan, Global News.
Okay, so here's the tiny little red flag that popped up in my head as I listened to those individuals who had taken part in the pilot project and the representative from the city.
Okay.
The theme seemed to be reducing waste, being more conscientious about waste. Mm-hmm. It was a challenge, one woman said, to reduce waste. So that tells me over and over again that these garbage containers are not big enough for what we're currently throwing away. So I'm a little concerned. Why did members of this pilot project have to rethink what they threw away or how much food they threw away?
Well, because you've got leftover whatever or cleaning out your fridge and you just throw it away. Now you're not doing that.
What are you doing?
You're putting it in the green bin. It's going in the organic bin.
I see.
Right? So you put your food scrapings, your food scraps.
Okay.
Whatever, that goes in the green bin.
Okay.
So it is reducing waste because that is going to go and be composted, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So you're separating your organic from your inorganic.
All right.
And see, I was right because she said the big bin is going to fit 4 to 6 big garbage bags.
It just feels to me like everyone's kind of saying, well, we've had to reduce. But if you're saying they just...
I think reduce means like you're just conscious of what goes in actual waste, like that's going to the dump.
Okay.
Because what is going to be organic waste.
Well, because how I took it in my little pea brain was like, well, we can't throw out this old meatloaf. Somebody has to eat it. That's how I took it. Like, well, we can't. Yeah. We don't have enough room. Somebody eat this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
where do you stop with that, right? Like electronics. Somebody needs to swallow this wire. Like we can't
fit. Well, you don't throw electronics out.
Right, that's right.
You recycle them. The eco
section. I knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woo!
There you go.
That was almost like a little mini Andrew rant.
I guess it kind of was. I sort of held back a little bit. Okay. It's time now for the big blue folder.
The Big Blue Folder is brought to you by Crystal Glass. You deserve to see the world clearly. Don't let cracks, chips, or other imperfections ruin your view. Crystal Glass is the clear choice for all residential glass replacement and repair. Visit crystalglass.ca.
I do want to thank Crystal Glass as well, not only sponsors of this podcast, but they were among the first people I contacted when I discovered that we did not have a title sponsor for this year's festival, and Crystal Glass has stepped up with some additional money for us. So do appreciate that. One step closer to being able to afford to do a festival in 2022. All right, from the Big Blue Folder, a new study out of State University of New York at Oswego.
Oswego.
That's a great name.
I like that.
Oswego found that if a woman wants a man to do her a favor, there's pretty much nothing more effective than giving off signals that it might be cold outside. Are you following me?
Yeah.
The researchers had men look at pictures of women, some of whom were poking through their shirts and some of whom who were not. And then the researchers asked the men questions about what favors they would do if the woman asked. And the men who saw the more nippler photos were willing to do pretty much anything the woman asked, including lending her $100, even though she's a total stranger. And by the way, it's not just men who had caveman reactions to those photos. Women had them as well. The researchers found that women were less likely to say they'd do any favor for a perked up woman in the photo.
Really?
Yeah, and were less likely to say they could see themselves ever being friends with these women.
Are you kidding me?
No. Interesting.
They're just nips.
Yeah.
Everybody's got them. Big deal.
Yeah. It's like, well, men have them too. They're just rough.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everybody's got them.
Roughed in plumbing. A 22-year-old woman anonymously posted a story on Reddit about how her 3-year relationship ended recently when her 24-year-old boyfriend noticed she was making a lot of suspiciously long trips out of the home. He confronted her last week, accused her of cheating on him, and dumped her. And she told him what was really happening. He's a vegan, and she was sneaking out to go to McDonald's to eat burgers. He didn't believe her, but she swears it's true, and now she's trying to figure out how to prove it, saying, quote, "I never thought my relationship would end over something so stupid as a Big Mac." Now, how about this? Netflix is testing a verification system that could be part of a crackdown on password sharing. Some people are getting on-screen messages now that prompts them to enter a code that's sent to the account holder's phone. But for now, you're also given the option to continue watching and, quote, verify later. So who knows who all's got our network?
Well, just us.
Well,
in the household.
Yeah, we don't know that's true because you know how you get notified that somebody has logged on to your account, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I've had that notification before and then asked, I don't want to, you know, specifically point fingers here, but asked one of our children, did you guys just log on to Netflix? And had the answer, no, it was probably so-and-so. So a friend who I guess they shared the password with when they were at their house one day or whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, we should be changing the password then.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. So we're all good now.
Yeah, unless I can put you down as a dependent on my taxes, you don't get my Netflix password. There's a 50-year-old guy named Eric Warren from Wolfworth, Texas. And back in the summer of 2019, he went to a car dealership to test drive a BMW. They left him to try it out solo, very trusting of them. Mm-hmm. So he drove the BMW to a bank and robbed the bank. He pulled out something that looked like a gun, demanded $10,000, and then took off back to the car dealership to use the cash as a down payment.
On the car.
On the car.
What the hell?
But while they were doing the paperwork, the police showed up and let the dealership management know that one of their cars had been spotted at the scene of a bank robbery. The staff connected the dots and pointed to Eric sitting there doing his paperwork. He was in court this week and pleaded guilty to bank robbery and has been sentenced to 20 years in prison.
There is really some dumbass people out there.
Yeah. If you're going to be, if you're going to do 20 years, steal the fucking car. Don't steal the, what, the, you added a step that didn't have to be there.
That
just
is, that is true.
Steal the car. How about this? On Tuesday night, a 20-year-old guy named Siron Young stole a pack of cigars from a convenience store in Dyersburg, Tennessee. The owner of the store is a 25-year-old guy named Odie Solomon. So this guy, Odie, got in his car, chased Siron after he left with the cigars, and when he caught up with them, pulled a gun on him, and at gunpoint took the pack of cigars back. Plus what he did was he took Siron's cell phone and debit card to let him know what it feels like to be robbed. Okay. Well, Siron, who had just lost the cigars he stole and his cell phone and his card, called the police and reported Odie. And the police decided to charge Odie. They arrested him for aggravated robbery, and Siron was given a citation for the shoplifting. The world's gone crazy.
Yes. Up is down, down is up. Oh, fuck.
Police recently raided the home of a 30-year-old named Dustin Bushnell in Burbank, Washington. So here's the deal. They were looking for a bunch of catalytic converters he's accused of stealing off people's cars. They found the catalytic converters, so they were correct.
Mm-hmm.
But while searching, they also found something else. As they were searching his home, they walked into his kid's bedroom and saw a massive 400-pound playground slide that was attached to his kid's bunk bed. The slide apparently had gone missing from a park in December after someone sawed it off and left with it, which we know now who that was. They're still building a case for the stolen car parts, but they arrested Dustin on the spot for the slide. Huh. He's facing charges for possession of stolen property.
Wow.
I don't know if that makes him dad of the year.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Really dumb criminal. All right. Who do we have to thank?
This episode of Gross Misconduct was sponsored by Crystal Glass, Todd's Mechanical, Leading Edge Physiotherapy, South Central Dentistry, Old McDonald's Resort, AlbertaMasks.com, and the Edmonton Comedy Festival.
And as always, we want to encourage you to use the services and products of our sponsors and to tweet or post on Facebook or Instagram when you've done so. We always like it when our sponsors know that you came to them as a result of us. So it helps us a lot when you tweet or post, as I say, that you got great service or a great product from one of our sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Matt Farley composed the angry song for Andrew's rant. Meat Depress sang "You're a Dick." The Whack MCs performed "Covidiot." Purple Planet provided the "What Does Kevin Think" music. We used Mail Time clip from Blue's Clues. Maddie's music when we use it is Desert Bells Doing My Thing. Hunter's music when we use it is Naughty by Nature's Here Comes the Money.
There you go. And if you want to support this podcast, as many did last week, go to paypal.me/grossmisconduct, or many people find it easier to simply e-transfer Andrew at andrewgross.com. That's A-N-D-R-E-W-G-R-O-S-E. Any amount of money, always appreciated. I just love getting that notification that you've got an interact transfer.
Well, yeah, God, who wouldn't?
I know, but here's even if it's like $5, $10, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, it's like, oh, extra money. And again, if everybody who's listening gave us $5 or $10, we would be so golden. We really would. And if this week we're able to come up with, it's not going to happen. That's why I feel comfortable in saying this. Mm-hmm. If this week we happen to come up with $5,000, that will not go towards us. We'll put that down as the listeners of Gross Misconduct becoming one of the sponsors for the Edmonton Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. And that will put us one sponsor closer to having a 2022 festival. All right. We need to get somebody to play us out. I thought we would get the Marsh family. Are you familiar with the Marsh family?
I know we've had them before, but I can't remember specifically which ones.
Love these people. Very wholesome English family that have been, like the rest of us, in quarantine for a year. But they're just all very musically talented.
Jealous.
Yeah. Like from the littlest kid to the dad. Mm-hmm. They're like this.
I love seeing families like choir. That. You see them quite often, and it's just like, oh, that's like so sweet.
Well, I like it from the aspect that it's actually really well done.
Yeah.
But also from the point of view that it's an activity that the whole family's doing.
Everybody can do. Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't bother or have not bothered in the past to put the whole song in or to put what happens after the song ends in. Mm. But you can see how happy they are to have done this. Like when the song ends, they typically laugh and high-five each other. Aww. And yeah, they just look like a great family. So we'll get the Marsh family to play us out.
Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that. Okay. I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Third lockdown.
2021 and it's a little bit lonely, no one's ever coming round.
Third lockdown.
2021, we bet we'd all be outside, but I'm still listening to the sound of the tears.
Third lockdown.
Every day I'm treated like I offer room service, but they mess it in the blink of an eye.
Third lockdown.
Every now and then we get a little bit terrified of when we think she's gonna let fly.
Third lockdown. Time flies.
Struggling to tell the days apart.
Third lockdown, time flies.
Feels as if we're only at the start.
But we've grown a lot in height. There's no way for us to measure.
And if you look up all the time, we've been eating more than ever.
All these friends must be haunting our side, cause we're on all day long together.
they can do. We're totally fixed where we are.
Once upon a time we went hiking for miles. Now we can't be asked with apart. Nothing we can say. We're totally fixed where we are.
This episode of Gross Misconduct was brought to you by Todd's Mechanical, available 24 hours a day for your plumbing and furnace needs. Say, Tucker is a fucker, and receive $50 off your next bill. Find them online at toddsmech.com, or call them at 780-499-7598, and don't forget to like them on Facebook.
Used to be
right back at the start.
And we leave on all the light.
And we leave
our clothes and doors in winter.
Dad said you sold the black and white.
If we only
we've been through with being my printer.
And we'll always be picking up fun.
No, we never
have to never be wrong.
Together we have planted all our parents' red lines.
Physically older but in mental
decline.
Now it's 80 songs from the charts.
Nothing we can say. We're totally fixed where we are.
We're totally fixed where we are.
We're totally fixed where we are.
They're amazing, man.
Yeah, there it was beautiful. It was. There's something about like really little kids mm-hmm. who sing beautifully that is just, it's wonderful. I love it.
It's funny to watch the video because you're looking at the whole family and they're all standing in front of microphones, some shared, others not, mm-hmm. right? And I couldn't take my eyes off the little boy. There's a really young boy and mm-hmm. he's not singing with the rest. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, he's not part, like he's part of the family, but he's not part of this, right? But there comes a point in the song which he just steps up to the mic and belts out his portion, and it's beautiful. Like
I know. I just, yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Hey, before we go, mm-hmm. and for many, we've already gone.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really mentioned this before, but I'm just going to mention it really quickly, and I'm not upset about it or anything like that, but I just think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I've said how little I like Cassie Campbell's coverage,
commentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just find it really interesting that I tweeted about Cassie Campbell last week or the week before. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Connor McDavid had not scored in three games. And the tweet was, because I want full disclosure, the tweet was after McDavid got an assist, mm-hmm. McDavid is no longer pointless. Cassie Campbell still is. Mm. And, you know, you often say to me, hey, I didn't like it when I was on radio.
when you were criticized.
Right. And you're right. And I try and make it funny and I try not, mm-hmm. you know, but you're right. So, you know, a bunch of people retweeted it and laughed and commented. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's really not for me about putting down Cassie Campbell. It's actually about entertaining people, especially Oilers fans, because oftentimes we have very little to be entertained by. As is always the case with tweets, they go to your followers first, and mm-hmm. then your followers retweet them. Mm-hmm. And they eventually get out there.
They get some speed.
Yeah. And they get out there to people who don't know who you are, don't follow you, and don't know that you like to tweet about hockey mm-hmm. and 90 Day Fiancé and The Bachelor and whatever. And then the haters start coming mm-hmm. after you. And, you know, somebody accused me Somebody said, oh, another old white guy who doesn't like hearing a woman's opinion. And somebody else tweeted, there it is, folks. Proof he's what's the term
misogynist.
For
misogynist?
No, it was worse than that. It's that by definition, a young man who hates women.
Oh, an incel?
Incel, yeah. I was accused of being an incel. And
it, yeah, I don't think you have to be young to be an incel.
Well, I Googled it because I didn't know what an incel was, and it said young men.
Yeah.
But here's my point. I put down Drew Remenda for the better part constantly. Of 7 years, and no one accused me of anything.
Well, here's the thing. You can criticize, make fun of, whatever, something that a person does. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't criticize, whatever, the person.
Right.
There's
right.
a difference.
Yeah. I don't have a problem. I don't care if the person doing the commentary is male, female. Mm-hmm.
Just do a good job. Just whoever you are.
I just don't find her, as I didn't find Drew Remenda, I don't find them to be informative. Mm-hmm. They're not telling me anything I don't already know about the game or about what I've just been watching.
Right.
But I just did find it sort of hypocritical that, oh, okay, so now I'm what is it again? An incel?
Incel.
Incel? Intel? Yeah.
Incel.
But here's the thing. You do wonder, don't you? Or at least I do. Are people bothered? Is Cassie Campbell aware of the fact that I made that tweet, for example, right? And so I've never admitted this on air before because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But Drew Remenda was well aware of the fact mm-hmm. that I did jokes at his expense and did not like it. And had mentioned to another sportscaster who I knew, we mutually mm-hmm. were friends. Like, he wasn't mad about it, but he was kind of like, hey, what the fuck's up with this gross guy? I believe mm-hmm. were his exact words.
Which anybody would. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely. And I had said, you know, well, he should come to one of my comedy shows and then he should tweet how fucking bad I was afterwards. Like, we'll call it even, right? Yeah, right? But it got me thinking, just because of this Cassie Campbell thing, and I was thinking about Drew Remenda, my favorite part of this podcast is now editing Trudeau and specifically Trudeau and Kenny. Mm-hmm. Shandro's a pretty easy target. Like, you don't even have to edit Shandro to make him sound stupid.
Right.
You know? But Kenny, like, he has such pauses between his words that it's really easy to edit. Mm-hmm. And Trudeau, same yeah. thing, mm-hmm. right? But it turns out Kenny has heard it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So let's really end the podcast. With Kenny's reaction to my editing of his speeches on gross misconduct.
It's clear that they developed content designed to defame in the most vicious way possible, in the impressionable minds of Albertans and people. That is the depiction made in this content. And so we can just pretend that's not a reality. Just ignore it. And I think we have every right, if they are lying, and particularly with this kind of vicious sort of defamation, to set the record straight, to put a spotlight on that, on those kinds of outrageous lies and that kind of defamation, whether it is an entertainment show or it's a hard news show targeting grown-ups, I think that's pretty darn serious.